passes, further authorize the mayor and clerk administrator to sign the agreement prior to the deadline of December 22nd, 2023, under address, under duress.
That would be good too. You could put that in for a good little bit of humor.
It's been a long day.
Can you read it or?
Yeah.
Okay. It wasn't, I did my best to write neatly, so I think I don't write more than about 10 words above the normal, so.
Is this where we need a laptop to do the amendments, have it all typed up?
Mm-hmm.
If I was doing this at home, I would speak those words into my phone and say print, and it would print. We could easily need a printer in the room, or it doesn't have to be in the room, but you don't want to go back and forth a lot either, so.
Well, there'd be an awful lot of back and forth, I'll tell you, because everybody keeps adding a little piece to it.
Agreed, but it's still faster than scribbling down things that maybe you could read, maybe you can't, right? But, and it's easy to change, so, you know, you change your mind and you just redictate again and off it goes.
So we're looking, coming up here, changing the procedural bylaws.
Yeah.
Do you want a new clause in some of the meetings held at your house? Is that
sure. If you want, that'd be fine. Can we have an open bar while we're there? So, I'm joking, just for the record. So.
Time's got a ways to go.
Yeah. Sorry. It was the Carney that gave me the germ of the idea. That's what got me to write it.
Sorry.
So. And I'm not blaming you, I'm thankful to you. I'll just be clear on that too, so. It's really quite appalling that it could get to the stage with just like, effectively not disenfranchising them from voting, but disenfranchising something that they presently have with no thought or representation or care or consideration, none, right?
And it wasn't until on into November when Chris Mahon first sent it was, I don't think he realized anything. And it was on into November when he sent emails out to all of the municipalities saying, have you signed the agreement yet? Don't sign it yet until we know. And that's when we all found out.
And some people get kudos for this, because look at all the money that they made for,
mm-hmm.
well, for MPAC and or the province, right? I'm convinced that's what's in the background here. Somebody's got this bright idea that I'll be a hero because look at all this monetization, all this money I raised, right?
Well, I mentioned it was a public sector accounting board, remember now?
Yes.
PSAP that came up with the whole idea of changing everything over with the asset management plan and how you had to value all of your property.
Yeah.
And, that came out of some years of study, I guess, but
sure.
It was just thrown at the municipalities and you had to implement it. And the same sort of thing here, you're not really being given an option. And that's why I'm interested to know how many other municipalities in the province have an organization like the West Prairie Saint George Green Network.
Yeah.
They're the ones that should be up in arms if they're going to lose all this too. If they're not providing it now, then we're really not losing anything. We notice it because we have the George Green Network. Maybe they don't.
What do you know about, it's completely off the subject, but I mean, what do you know about the name, the West Prairie Sound, period, and or what it actually represents and what like authorities it has? It seems to be just this amorphous idea people understands, but there's no structure behind it.
No, my understanding is there's nothing legal about it, that it was given to separate from East Prairie Sound, but even that's, you know, questionable. What's it include?
I thought that all came up when they first started with the amalgamation, and they kept saying West Prairie Sound, West Prairie Sound.
Yeah, and different organizations have adopted it. I mean, I don't know if maybe Councilor Cuffman knows more about the police department, but I think there's West Prairie Sound Detachment, aren't they?
Yeah, so you know, it's in Ontario, then they have to sort of cover certain areas with one detachment. So then the West Prairie Sound Detachment covers, you know, the seven municipalities and Henley First Nation and Britt and Bing Inlet. So the detachment area is West, they classify it as West Prairie Sound, and then East Prairie Sound is...
But there is no organization or group or whatever you want to call it that's known as
No, I think that
West
came
Paris
first.
Out, right?
The name came first, and then organizations picked up on it. So, yeah. I don't know.
And I don't think that's a bad thing. I just, you know, it's just kind of this thing that exists without anybody actually being the thing, right? So
that'd be another tier of government.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the last thing we need, but but because I've asked that question of other people that have lived here a long, long time, and everybody just gives me the same look, like, well, it's just West Paris Sound.
I don't know what that had been that they started with that. Because how long was the West Paris Sound Board of Education? The West Paris Sound Board of Education.
Is there a West Paris Sound?
Yeah, there was.
There was.
And then it was changed to the Near North District.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. I didn't really need it back, but just in case. That's why I wrote it there, because I thought I didn't want to mess up the other.
Whoa, here's a concerning restriction. Restrictions. Unless otherwise authorized by these terms and conditions, the licensee will not use licensed data to engage in the development of any product or service that competes with the licensor, such as creating a product that competes with commercial data offerings.
Yeah.
So, if MPAC is trying to monetize what we currently have publicly available, and West Paris Sound Geography Network says, hey, we want to provide that, I'm sorry, the restriction that you signed in the agreement says that, no, you can't do that.
Yeah. It's their own demise.
What's the name of that document, Mike? Is that
it's in the council package.
Oh.
It's the actual agreement.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry, there you go. Okay.
So I don't know, like signing this and then to all of a sudden you've signed the agreement. Did you read it over? Did you see that that restriction was there?
What's the number of that item, Mike?
It's under restrictions. Oh, there it is. It's 6.3.1. And 6.3.1.4.
Okay. Great, thank you, Mike.
When someone signs this agreement, they're signing a lot of restrictions. Acknowledging ownership now of certain licensed data.
The agreement is not public, as requested by MPAC.
Mike, while you're there, look at 6.3.17.
The agreement is not public.
And this is going to affect the public. This is what, maybe that was their goal, to just have it circulating to the mayor and the CEO, sign it.
Well, you know that never happened here. Council gets involved.
Yeah, and thank God for that. Maybe that's why they got 80% of the sign over.
Look at 6.3.1.7, just at the bottom of that section. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, don't you think that that specifically talks about what, you know, West Paris Sound Geographic Network?
Yeah. Yep.
Which is not permitted? Gets better and better. How many lawyers do you think they had working on this?
Well, if you go to MPAC, or sorry, if you go to West Paris Sound Geography Network, there's a little box there now that says there's new changes coming.
Yeah.
And then they run through this little bit of, there's a video on there that you can watch. It's about an hour long. And they've been working on this for a long time. So.
Okay, so we have an amendment that adds after the second paragraph under duress, and then there's a third, fourth, and fifth paragraph added, or clause. And further, that council objects to the apparent removal of existing access to MPAC data currently available to public users, for example, via West Paris Sound Geography Network. And further, we formally request that this access be restored immediately And further, a copy of this resolution was forwarded to Premier Doug Ford, MPP Graydon Smith, and West Prairie Sound Municipalities. Any discussion of the amendment, first of all? So we'll take a vote on the amendments. All those in favor? None opposed? That's carried. And then the amended resolution now, with the resolution that we had that we signed the agreement with that amendment added in. I'll call the question on the original motion with the amendment.
So further discussion?
Okay.
So it might be in here, you know, I don't see it, but I believe that the existing agreement, which allows a municipality to continue to use Municipal Connect, is still in force and effect, because I don't see in here that
that agreement's repealed or rescinded.
Yeah. And if that agreement was signed in good faith, and we read those terms and conditions, how is it that, you know, the agreement can all of a sudden no longer exist?
Doesn't say anywhere in there. You've read
it. I haven't read. I can't, you know, see. But it, that's
doesn't,
because
doesn't supersede. It doesn't repeal the previous agreement.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the last page.
Yeah, I did too. It's heard to there. That's where you tied it.
And so it says, if any provision of this agreement is held to be invalid, illegal, or unenforceable by a court of competent jurisdiction, the validity, legality, and enforceability of the remaining provisions will not in any way be affected or impaired thereby, and such provision will be deemed to be restated to reflect the party's original tensions and nearly as possible. So it doesn't
that's
say...
That's just a separate...
yeah. So yeah, and then below that, it says, by signing below, each party acknowledges that it has read and understood the terms of this agreement and for good and valuable consideration agrees to be bound by these terms. So if we do not sign this, wouldn't it be...
What's our previous agreement?
Well, we have to take a look at that.
Well, no, I'm just thinking, like,
like
the Belvedere, for example. They gave all those people had an agreement, and then they handed them another agreement, with, and those people that didn't want to sign it upheld that original agreement. So is this...
I mean, truthfully, they should do this with Redline, right, and go, well, and showing all the edits to the document from the earlier one. Because how do we know what they took out that doesn't appear here anymore, right? And if this document supersedes all previous documents, I haven't read that yet, but if it says that, then you have an obligation to tell us what you took in, what you put in, and what you took out, what you changed.
Or is it reader beware?
Well, yeah. Caveat emptor, but anyway, not quite, but close.
Close.
So... I'm wondering if our old agreement.
Yeah.
Valid. If we sign this, does that mean we're accepting this new agreement? What is our old agreement?
That's a good question.
That's why we're doing it under duress.
I think that there's like five different agreements that they're saying all they've done is rolled this all in to one. Consolidated it all. But
that's called obfuscation, but anyhow. So
if we don't sign this,
than the original agreement.
Because the typical thing for any agreement is that they've got to give you fresh consideration.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's like they're taking away the not. But
and like you said, they've rolled in, seems like a service level agreement, impact permitted use of municipality documents, several agreements into this one.
Mm-hmm.
But our original agreement to be part of, to be able to have access to Municipal Connect, wouldn't that still be in force and in effect if we don't sign this?
Couldn't we do a motion saying that, blah, 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 we will stick with our original agreement?
Like, thanks for the offer, but...
Yeah, but we will stay with our original agreement, something to that effect.
Well, before you ever do that, you just question, too, where's that agreement? Have we read it? So do we even know what it says in there?
Right.
I don't even know how long ago that would have.
2007.
Like, we're paying them how much a year? $75,000?
Mm-hmm.
We must have an agreement. Do they, and from that agreement has gone on, it's never been changed since then, 2007. So, I don't see how they could just up and change it with such a short notice. Like, this
well,
is
and we're being compelled to do it with a threat. Right? That's what it is, very clearly.
Well, vote accordingly. We'll see where it lands and what information we receive. Or don't
yeah,
receive
so if we vote against it, and in theory, we're going by our old agreement.
Whatever it says.
Mm.
Well, whatever it says, it's been working.
Yeah.
It works for, I'm just concerned with Roshan, really. And it's been working for Roshan.
And if it doesn't change, you know, if the original agreement was to have access to Municipal Connect and all the information that's required legislatively for him to be able to obtain through Municipal Connect, that works for us.
So which came first? Mm-hmm. MPAC or Jarvie Network?
MPAC came mm-hmm. first.
But it's a good question. If you don't accept the agreement, because there isn't fresh consideration, are the old agreements still in effect?
Well, it doesn't say it's not.
Mm.
It doesn't say it's replacing, does it?
I couldn't see the wording there.
I haven't found it yet either, but...
You said integrates and clarifies many existing MPAC municipality agreements.
Well, maybe we could contact MPAC and say, well, we'll consider signing the agreement when you get our reassessment completed.
That would be something.
Yeah,
that's,
what I
yeah.
that's extortion, too.
I don't think they could be doing
paying you all this money for nothing for all of this.
But this is why they haven't been reassessing.
Been working on this and delaying all our assessment until they have this signed.
Huh?
So, yeah, what's going on here? Yeah, there's something something going on. I just don't think we're
this
aware.
This is not transparent. But
well, you know, we haven't even given the time to even give this to a lawyer to read through.
If you turn to the unnumbered page, which is God knows, 3 or 4 pages from the back, 6 pages from the back, under the municipally permitted uses of MPAC data products, provide the municipality with expanded uses of MPAC data for internal planning, internal operations, and external distribution uses. What the heck does that mean? Because definitely, you know, Westbury Sound Geographic Act would be external distribution uses. So they might they say this, but apparently they're removing that ability. It also provides easier access to licensed custom products for municipally owned and funded entities to access MPAC data. Yeah, these are just words, though. Well, where's the proof, right? And what does that mean? Where's the evidence supporting your assumptions or your statements?
Well, could we not defer it? I know this might get us in Rojan. He can just let us know how it is snuffing them. And if we were going to have to sign it at our next council meeting in January, but could Ina, could you not reach out to the other municipalities in around us and see if they're signing it and what if they have concerns? And
well, but it seems like they're signing it even though they have concerns.
Well,
like,
they're hoping,
like that?
Same way what Nick's suggesting under duress, because
yeah.
you just don't have the knowledge and it's so complicated, and they're saying stuff without really coming to a bottom line as to why they're, you know, stating all this. So,
how much notice did they give? What date did they have on this?
Well, the other question that I asked, like, they're saying that the deadline of
December 22nd.
December 22nd or December 23rd. But if we didn't sign it on the 23rd, but we got the information that we needed and we signed it on January 7th the 9th, I guess. Are they going to reject it?
No, I think we could still sign it January 9th if Rojan gets a hold of us, or Carlin says we got some major problems.
Yeah, they're going to say, no, you can't sign it now because the deadline's up and we don't want your 70 grand.
They're not going to say that.
Well, we may get some answers with the communicating with other municipalities, I'm sure, especially with the Muskoka's under duress. Okay, what are they doing?
Maybe they're seeking advice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there could be already legal opinions out there on this that municipalities have received. So why reinvent the wheel and us go through that process? So I'd be in favor of deferring it until further information.
My experience in big organizations like this is they would get their pound of flesh by disabling anything that we have, whether they're legally allowed to or not, because then it would set an example of you can't defy us, right? But whereas if we sign that under duress, we can at least make a case in public that we objected to these things because here's what we were going to lose. Mm-hmm. And we can make other arguments too, but we could say this was in there, and then we said it's under duress. In criminal cases, not that this is one, if the police get a defendant to sign a statement or to admit to something under duress, it's not admissible in court, mm-hmm. right? This isn't in court, so I don't think it's the same thing, but at least we're registering mm-hmm. that we do not agree with this. But would I want to disadvantage the municipality or our ratepayers or Roshan in particular? Hell no, he's got to be able to do his job. That's where we derive our revenue, right? So I understand kind of the resentment that we have to this, but I wouldn't want to cut off our nose to spite our face, because we can always make a case after the fact, and maybe you do it through social media. I'm not saying we do that now, but right, we could go back to this resolution and say, here, we pointed this out, right? We objected to doing this. Right, but felt we had to because otherwise we'd lose the access that we currently have, right? Which is just wrong, and we could make up a list of 25 reasons why this is the wrong thing to do. Mm-hmm. Not the resolution, but to the impact doing the wrong thing with this whole document. And again, not telling us what changed. And maybe it says somewhere in here, I haven't found it yet, I'd have to read it again probably two or three times. Does it say in here, anybody knows that This agreement, supersedes all previous agreements? I haven't come across it, and I've read, I don't know, 10 or 12 pages from it, but anyhow.
They're just generically saying it.
Yeah.
Integrates and clarifies many existing agreements.
But again, those are all very broad statements without any evidence to back them up, right?
Nowhere
does
it
say replace.
That's right. Nowhere does it say that this agreement needs to be signed or else our previous agreements
is null and void.
Null and void.
Yeah.
So the agreements that we made to be able to access and use Municipal Connect are still in effect. We signed that agreement, since, 2007.
But whether they're legally permitted to do this or even, morally permitted to do this, it's still wrong. And whatever, you can't do this. At the very least, you have to tell us what changed, right? And in my opinion, you'd have to provide a new document that showed anything taken out of the old document, anything added to the new document in a comprehensive thing. That's just, you could do it in Word in 10 seconds or less, right? But again, these were scattered across a million documents, but it's grossly unfair to just give us a massive document like this. And again, I note that they don't number the pages because they don't even want us to know how many there are.
But wouldn't they have to? Wouldn't they have to send we pay, each municipality pays so much money. So wouldn't they have to send something specifically to each municipality saying your previous agreement is now null and void, this is replacing it?
Because I don't know that they could do it unilaterally anyway, which is one of the other issues here. What gave them the authority to unilaterally amend an agreement? And maybe they have that authority.
That's what I mean.
But that's the whole point. You can't do that any more than we could. What if we did it and said, no, we've changed our terms and conditions, and here they are. And you have to do it or else, we won't give it to you. But we wouldn't. I'm not saying we would do it, but they're doing it in reverse.
And this agreement is across the board for the whole province.
Yeah.
It used to say that our current agreements are the same as the agreements that the town of Hearsend has.
Yeah.
Everybody, every other municipality might have completely different agreements than we have. And they're just wrapped
so
in
can you can you get copies of our agreement?
I'll dig for them.
So like Norley's saying, defer it or defeat it.
Mm-hmm.
Get copies of the agreement.
But here, my opinion of bureaucracies is that they would deliberately then do things to sabotage is too strong or to restrict our access simply because we didn't sign the new agreement.
Well, then
that's how
well,
bureaucracy
so
behaves.
So
well, then we signed the agreement to be able to have access to Municipal Connect. So they're in breach of the contract. Not out.
But we can make that case afterwards, especially if we set up
new jurisdictions. $70,000 a year. We still want the terms and conditions of the agreement that we signed originally. We're happy with that. Thank you very much. We don't want to monetize, you know, this our citizens' data. Thank you very much. We're happy with the existing terms and conditions of the agreement.
You can, but they'll get their pound of flesh. I'm sure of that. So.
You have to soon limit debate, I think.
Yeah. I agree. I apologize. I'm not trying to beat a dead horse.
We've got the entire resolution now.
I think this is
amendment. I know it's important.
Yeah. But I think this
but
is.
There comes a time when you have to vote on it.
Yeah. But I think that the question. No, not. I'm not sure that anyone asked the question, well, what if we don't sign the agreement and we're happy with the. We stick with the original agreement?
That's on the table.
This was handed, you know, to the CEOs and the mayors of the municipalities. They said, oh, okay, I guess we got this is an updated agreement. Okay, we'll sign here.
I don't know for a fact what you're saying is true. I don't know if it was handed to the mayors and the CEOs. So.
Well, it says...
They're the ones who have to sign it.
It's not for public.
Yeah.
It's not for the public. And then those two that are... who bind this agreement.
Yeah, it's in there. I mean, that's who signs the agreement.
Yeah.
So I'll give the last word, as in our procedural, to the mover, Councillor Zulak. Any final comments on this resolution? Just so we can end debate.
Yeah, I know. I'm either going to defer it or defeat it.
So, I'll call the question then on this resolution. All those in favor?
Do you want a recorded vote?
Those opposed. Well, you can ask for one if
okay.
you want.
No, I think that's too confrontational. Let's not do that. So.
Those opposed? Those for deferral? Okay, so it's defeated. That's the way it is. It's a tie
okay.
vote for deferral and defeating, so it's defeated.
Okay.
Okay.
I have no regrets.
Roshan has our phone number.
Yeah.
Well, the bullseye on my back.
Let's hope they didn't come in here and murder us next meeting, so.
Resolution 23-786, moved by Councillor Ryan, second by Councillor Austin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation, Thompson Keller, hereby appoint Christopher Clayton to the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried.
Let's defer it.
Resolution 23-787, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby given bylaw number 2023-79, being a bylaw to amend bylaw 2023-08, the procedural bylaw, a bylaw to establish rules governing the proceedings of Council, the calling of meetings, and the conduct of members, staff, and the public, a first and second reading, and further read a third time and passed at open Council this 19th day of December 2023. Discussion?
So I see the revised version here with
yes.
The one correction in there.
Yeah, I've had seen through Councillor Kekkonen catching a slip up that was made that it should should be the first and third Tuesday rather than just the first Tuesday of the month. Because the, I think the original was taken from the previous council, the original
once
resolution, and they met once a month. So.
I think maybe there's one more amendment that it should be to amend bylaw 2023-09. That's the most recent version of the procedural bylaw.
Is it?
Yeah.
Or is it 09 an amendment?
Incorporating the Township of McHale procedural bylaw 2023-09.
Is that if you get an old agenda package? The number may have been changed.
This is the one that we passed, so this
okay.
is as soon as the newest version was passed. Let's see, I wonder if it's on the last
one. So the newest one says 09, that's it should be changed, yes. And maybe that's where the mistake's coming
from. Because
08 was referring to the previous.
Yes, that's correct, yes.
That would make sense. We'll get it clarified.
Aren't these really exciting?
Send staff to find something that it's a built-in recess.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is the one 2023-09.
What's on the website? Can we look
sure.
at
that? Why do you have to look at
No, no.
Send everybody.
That's a good
room.
One.
What's this one here?
So where did you get 09?
We passed this January 24th, 2023. The first thing that we did in this term of council was we changed it from one meeting a month to two meetings a month. And this was third reading January 24th, 2023. This is what I received. This is 2309.
Well, the website's
my 08. Copy has 08 and the bylaw index has 08, so I don't know where 09 came from.
This is what we received.
Right from the file.
And the error is in this bylaw tonight is because it's from 08, which said one the first Monday of the month, whereas 09 says the first and third Monday of the month.
So let me pull it for a minute.
I checked the one on the website, and it still says 08, and it has first and third Tuesday.
He's going to pull the actual Bible out of the...
You're
okay.
Out of the actual legit document.
And then go to... What's that time? So 4.2, if you take a look at...
No, this is the this is the confirmation bylaw, so it is 08.
Could you take a look at
4.2?
Yeah, because the end of the bylaw is signed here.
4.2 meetings shall be other... Also, this
first
and third.
Yep, except in January.
So how come this one here, which... we received is 2023-09.
So that was a part of the agenda package, so maybe the ordering was wrong, but then when the bylaw actually went through, then it was numbered correctly.
Well, I'll put my money on the one in the big book there. That's the legal document.
As long as we don't have another 2023-08, we're okay.
Maybe there's number 10, we don't know.
Okay. so that number doesn't need to be changed, but that correction, the main correction from just being the first Monday, that is being corrected to first and third.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and we should have got a copy of that tonight.
Yeah, so that's, yeah. And can I have a copy of the correct bylaw number?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any further discussion? I guess now maybe, I don't know whether Carly wants to respond to that. This is a result of our survey that was done, I guess, and whether the meetings were going to be changed or not. And so the result is that there's still evening meetings.
Yeah, the SurveyMonkey results presented at the regular meeting a few meetings ago. Sorry, I'm blanking on the date. The survey results did not change, so most people were in favor of 6:30 start time.
And the amendment to the procedural was to legitimize what we've been doing all along, because we actually had said in there that it was a 6:30 start, and we were starting earlier.
Yes, to allow for closed session items.
Okay, because we used to have it closed at the end of meetings, and then we get into trouble with the Zoom link, so we moved it to the beginning. Okay, any further discussion on that? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And we have resolution 23-788, moved by Councillor Haskell, second by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation Township of Teller does hereby give bylaw number 2023-23, being a bylaw to regulate dogs in the township, the first and second reading, and further read a third time and passed in open council of the 19th day of December 2023. Discussion? Councillor Ryland?
You guys want to open this one up? Okay, go ahead.
There are some typographical errors in the document. I've got, I don't know, five or six of them here, but in some cases just spelling mistakes and or just words that don't make sense. But
even before we get into the technical,
okay.
I guess the question is, there's still some unanswered questions. The last time we visited this, we had an agreement sent to us from the town of Prairie Sound for the impound facility. And we had questions about that. We didn't necessarily get along with what they were suggesting.
Yeah.
And we looked at different possibilities for impound within our township. And there are just various questions that haven't been resolved yet. So I'm not sure we're at the point of actually doing any readings, let alone first, second, third.
Yeah.
But I'll leave that to council to decide whether we need more information yet. And I noticed, too, Councillor Haskin probably noticed it already, that he has to leash his dog in there, so if he's not on his property. I know you wanted that, but it's still there.
Well,
anyway.
It's in here. It's you must have your dog leashed when obviously you're anywhere off your own property. And as I mentioned the last time it was brought up, a lot of people I see walking their dog, walk them without a leash, but when a vehicle comes along, they attach them to their leash. I don't see a problem with that. With the passing of this bylaw, we're restricting from people being able to do that. And I've never been in favor of putting restrictions on anybody. So, yeah, I still have an issue with that. So,
yeah, I'm sure there are a number of clauses.
Do we even need it? Are we getting complaints that we need this bylaw?
Well, that's a concern. Do we have any input? And plus the whole licensing thing. I know that came up before too, whether we want to get involved in licensing dogs. So there are a lot of variables yet, but I'm not sure we're at the stage. And did we have, refresh my memory, did we have a committee the whole meeting on this particular one?
We did. I forget what month it was in 2023, but the purpose of this bylaw coming back for the last meeting in 2023 is just, this was one bylaw that was given a bylaw number and not passed. So staff are just wanting some direction as to how to proceed with the bylaw. The bylaw was done by the previous bylaw enforcement officer, Chris Everett. It's, honestly just kind of been left to the side. We have had some discussions with the town of Prairie Sound for impounding But then we've also had talks with the OPP saying that it's not necessary for the township to have a specific impound for dogs. So if council wants to proceed with staff working on this bylaw in 2024 to improve it for whatever you're suggesting, please let staff know. Or if you don't think that the township requires a dog bylaw, then we can defeat it and then just move as we have been without one.
No, that's fair enough. You're in a catch-22, too, because you're taking care of unfinished business because you don't want it to stay on that list. I can see that, because then somebody also complains, well, why aren't we doing the unfinished business? Well, you are. You put it on there, and so it's up to council now where we go from here. Councilor Zula.
I will vote against it because I don't believe we need to have a bylaw for the dogs. I don't believe we need to have them licensed. I think once you do have a bylaw, then the police will not attend. And like I said before, the OPP built that great big attachment there, and I'm sure they could find a spot to put a dog if one was running loose.
I haven't visited the facility, so I don't know.
But I don't think we need a bylaw. I really don't. I don't see that we have that many complaints, and, you know.
Other comments? Opinions? Councilor Keckman?
Yeah, you know, ideally, the citizens would, by conscience, not allow their dogs to do those things that are prohibited in the bylaw. No dog should let their dog run at large, be a nuisance, trespass on private property, etc. So ideally that would be the case. People would adhere to just good neighborly conduct. We have used DOLA in the past, which has been effective. I'd really like to hear an update from the bylaw enforcement officer how certain problematic situations have been dealt with. Are we still having problems with those, you know, specific problem areas? But unfortunately, I don't believe that you can pass just one portion of this bylaw with the responsibilities of dog owner without having the ability of the bylaw enforcement officer to take enforcement action when the responsibilities are not adhered to, and in hand goes with that licensing so they can identify the dog and a pound to be able to impound the dog that's running at large. So all these pieces go together, and Mayor Moore had indicated, and I have it written as well, there are numerous unanswered questions. What will be the total cost of administration and implementation of this bylaw, including tags and administration, pounds and administration, and what are the options of what kind of pound facilities are acceptable impound according to whatever the what regulations would be in place for minimum requirements.
So could we start with a report from the bylaw enforcement officer? We don't have a report yet, and he's relatively new to the job, but of what he's encountered so far, whether there have been any complaints, whether he's actually had to capture a dog or do anything with it. I don't know what he would have done if he did. The previous one did, apparently. He put them in the back of the vehicle. I can't remember where he took them. But So I think some more research. We start with the bylaw enforcement, but then it sounds to me, too, that we need more information, whether a report be done, somebody to investigate. I'm not sure which member of staff could undertake that, or whether it be a counselor. Who has the time to investigate? And the background, certainly, because a lot of this did initiate with the OPP, I think, and what they wanted.
And I'll get some more clarification what their expectations are as well. You know, if they're indicating that they don't require a pound facility, whereas with the previous detachment commander indicated that there needs to be a pound agreement with all the municipalities to ensure that when the OPP encounter a emergency situation where there's a dog involved, that they can take and house that dog until, you know, whatever the emergency is resolved. So we need a little bit more clarification on what expectations are.
Yeah, that's not the answer I received from the detachment. When I reached out to them, it was Shelley, the interim detachment commander. She didn't see any need for us to have an agreement with anyone, which was interesting to hear.
Right, yeah, because the acting detachment commander had indicated that that's what they wanted to see in place. So we'll see, there's a new detachment commander, we'll see if what their expectations are. And
so as a follow-up, just on a to-do list, you're going to investigate?
I can ask the OPP perspective on this, but I think, like you had indicated, some type of report from bylaw enforcement, what they've encountered, if they have any knowledge of impound facility requirements.
So do you want him to investigate even further, do a more detailed report to go beyond just, you know, what he's encountered? Or, I don't know if the council wants it.
The only way we can make an informed decision is if we actually have all the facts. You know, when we can look at all of that and weigh it out to determine, you know, do we have problems? Are the problems that significant that this bylaw needs to be passed, and to ensure that you know, the cost of administration and cost of the pound and all the costs associated with that we've seen, it wasn't just pound fee. There's fees on top of fees. So
can I ask?
Sure.
So what brought this on anyways? What brought the bylaw? It was just the previous bylaw officer just decided he was going to write up a bylaw? Like, did we have problems? Why, like we went on perfectly fine without a bylaw for years and years and years and without licensing.
I guess we'd have to ask the previous CB or
like
bylaw.
So what I'm getting at is, So why are we doing this? Did we get a lot of complaints? Like, why can't we just say, okay, the new bylaw officer, why doesn't he for coming year, 24, keep a record of, you know, anything that he encounters and then take it from there.
Unless he thought he needed more teeth, pardon the pun, but because obviously we did have problems there on the one road of the dogs coming out that could be violent, and I kind of wonder if it stemmed from that, where he, you know, if he was to do something, capture these dogs, you know, is he going to have what is required to go forward. So, but I don't know for sure, but I sort of thought that's where it stemmed from.
That's my recollection.
Yes,
too,
so. That's what I recall. There were two complaints, and then plus all of a sudden the OPP were sort of pushing for all municipalities to have some type of impound agreement. So that's where that arises.
So in the whole township you have two complaints. Were they neighbors?
No. Anyways, I think if we get an update from the bylaw enforcement officer to determine, you know, what kind of complaint, well, we have requested that we have a report from the bylaw enforcement officer. He's been hired now for over 3 months, so we have a little sense of what he's dealing with. And
did I see a memo that Tom wanted to meet with us at some point, or no?
I don't believe so. He's just doing a report. He was just currently away, so he didn't have time to submit a report for this meeting, but he will be for January.
Okay. Because Chris was giving us monthly reports, wasn't he? At the end, anyway.
Yeah.
And they were good reports. They got better as he went along, so. Mm-hmm. Right? Even if it's nothing to do with dogs, I mean, it's useful to have.
I only know of one that Tom has dealt with as far as the dog was concerned. And actually, he texted me. I was in Toronto, and he texted me, and he said there was a dog running on the highway, and I didn't want it to get hit, so I picked it up. What am I supposed to do with it?
Take it to Morley's house.
Well, thank goodness. Like, he has a barn, so he took the dog home.
Yeah.
And he kept it at the barn,
yeah.
And we all thought that it was Mary Smith's dog, but it wasn't. But they did find the owner for the dog. So, but that's the only one that I know what to be dealt with. He said, am I supposed to take it back where I found it and back out on the highway?
So. Okay, we got the resolution on the table here. Call for Question then, all those in favor? Opposed?
What's the resolution?
First, second, third reading of the dog bylaw.
Oh.
Deferred?
Yes.
All for the show of hands for deferred? Three? That's all it takes. New business? We finished that one, didn't we? Unfinished? Yeah, I'll figure out that list. And, I guess the dog bylaw is still on the unfinished. Sorry about that. New business, yes. Anything on new business?
Yes.
Yes,
Councilor. So, yeah, like usually at the end of the year, in the past, it's been actually in December. We would pass a resolution to ensure that the Township of McKellar authorized the treasurer to transfer the surplus balance of whichever committee. In this case, Resolution 19550 was for the Recreation Committee operating budget to be transferred to the Recreation Committee reserve account, as well with the Historical Committee that is being standard practice as well. So I just want to ensure that a resolution in that to that effect is passed to ensure that the money goes into the reserve accounts of those committees so that it can be used for future projects of those committees.
Yeah, I seem to remember one year, I don't know how many years back, it was done in January. As long as the treasurer is aware that you have to put that into a general account, that it's supposed to be kept separate, and then that could still be done in January, as opposed, because I don't see any resolution here that have to make one up. And so I'm thinking if that's satisfactory to council, we can do it in January and still make sure. And as long as Roshan's given the information, what you're providing tonight, and you're right, a standard practice, it probably should have been done tonight, but it's not. There's a possibility, I guess, although again, we haven't had the notice properly out there that it could be done on Thursday. Closed session, have an open session at the start, but I really don't like to get into that procedure without letting the public know what you're going to be talking about. So,
yeah, if we can ensure that the treasurer is advised that for the first meeting in January that this resolution be passed.
The fire department, we did that, and Rob even alluded to that tonight too.
Yeah,
he carried forward his unused expenses, I guess, and carried them forward
into the
new year
to the fire department equipment, or was it a vehicle, like capital
and we'll find out from Roseanne if a motion is necessary for some reason. I sort of thought last year he just automatically did it with no motion.
We passed the resolution in January.
Dave's
talking about it.
Because I remember him saying
December of each year.
Okay.
I remember him saying that he would put it in general reserves and take them all and put them in general reserves. That's why I have a very clear memory of that when he was here last year, saying that he would take unused funds and move them all into a general reserve rather than a department reserve.
That's what happens if you don't pass this resolution.
Okay.
But if you want to ensure that the surplus of your committee or does not go to the general surplus reserve, that stays within the committee's ability to utilize those funds, then you need to pass this bylaw, because that automatically happens for municipalities.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, just as an addendum to that, when you set up, I'll use historical as an example, next year's budget, do you include that as a surplus from this year, or do you just put that aside?
It goes into the reserve, so we have a list of the reserve accounts.
Right. Okay,
and
you don't put it in your
upcoming
budget.
It goes in just into the reserve accounts.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's not a revenue unless it's transferred from reserve
into
revenues.
Okay.
Now the whole surplus of the township, which is, can be a couple hundred thousand or up to 400,000, always in the past, prior, way back to Sean Boggs, it was always shown on the next year's budget as a revenue, the surplus from the year before. Well, that I don't think Rogan It confused me last year. He didn't show it that way. I think it was all transferred into reserves, maybe. I know there was a little bit of confusion there. We'll make sure we get that straightened out. But it wasn't done how it... And he had an explanation why he changed it. It sounded good, but it was always, you see that, what you had left over from the year before, which you felt proud of, and you think, okay, that's a good start for this year. So that doesn't, it doesn't, the revenue doesn't come in that way. It, I think it gets transferred to reserves. Then you draw from the reserves into your revenues. So just a side note, but we'll talk to Rojan about that.
Yeah, then you can be proud of your frugality, I guess, or you can say maybe we overlapped.
We should give some back.
Okay, public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members, any committees you attended, organizations, any reports? Oh, Council Mazula?
Probably everybody knows the library got their LEAF grant. $49,000.
How much was it?
$49,000.
Nice.
Yeah. The max was $50,000, and it was part of, we put in for $49,000 and change. So they got it, and there was 77 applicants, I told you before, that had applied, and 11 received them, so the library is ecstatic about that. And I think a lot of it goes to all the people in the township of McKellar that put comments on supporting the library, because I think that really... I think they had over 130 comments, and that really plays a big part in you know,
sure,
getting the grant. So that was wonderful. They're really happy about that and are excited to get started on it. And
now, they'll be talking to Chris, to the CEO.
Yes,
right?
they've been talking. Well, Debbie Woods, the chair, has been talking to Chris before about renovations and things like that. So. They had to do that to get all the figures, rough figures, of, you know, to put in the, for the grant. And then, other than that, there was a District Perry Sound Municipal Association meeting, and Carly did some wonderful stuff with that, so I'll let her take that and explain what she did.
So the District Perry Sound Municipal Association meeting had an executive meeting on December 13th, held via Zoom. I asked the association for permission to coordinate a parliamentary procedures training course that would be available to the 23 member municipalities. So the training would be available to municipal staff. I've had 47 people interested in the training, so that's great. The association wants to provide more training going forward, just as something that the association would offer to municipalities. Also, the executive approved the increase to the membership fee for the municipalities to $200 annually, when previously it was $160, and it hasn't been increased for some time. Our next meeting will be held in February 2024 to discuss the spring 2024 meeting to be hosted by the Township of Perry.
I just want to add too, Carly, is it definite that will be held here?
Oh yes, sorry, the training will be held at the Township McKellar Community Hall.
Yeah.
Excellent. About parliamentary procedure, I've watched some of it on TV. I hope they set a good example. And I guess the fees had to increase. I mean, I watched Councillor Haslam at the last one. With all that he eats, I mean, you obviously have to charge more. Yeah. Councillor Keck.
Okay, so on January the 10th, 2024, there will be an information session regarding the transition from the current CPAC structure that the West Perry Sound Detachment Area falls under to a OPP detachment board. So I'll be sending out an email shortly with that information. Initially, as I anticipated, that the information session would be held here in Perry Sound, but I couldn't get a confirmation of 100% certainty that the virtual component would be 100% to ensure that any virtual participants would be able to have participate in this meeting. So it's being held in the Heart Room at the Bobby Orr Community Center. And so Perry Sound is picking up the tab for that. So I'm just wondering if McKellar Township wants to provide some refreshments, coffee, So I'm just wondering.
So who's invited? I mean, how many people are we talking?
So, rough estimate, I initially anticipated between 10 and 50. And then however many virtual participants, there's one association who's been incredible in providing us access, the CPAC access to information that if we didn't have that, we wouldn't realize that there's a lot of responsibilities going forward, you know, particularly because I have had email correspondence with the Solicitor General, the Office of the Solicitor General, and they have not put forward any sense of urgency. Just don't worry, the it has to go on to the Ontario Regulatory for comment period. But when you look at what the Ontario Association of Police Services Board is making those board members, or the members who are a part of this association, aware of the responsibilities that are imminent, you wonder how the Ministry of Solicitor General is not making sure that they're putting out information sessions and to make the municipalities aware. You know, any of the municipalities that are part of the Ontario Association Police Service Board, maybe there's 200 of them, they're going to be well prepared. The other 200 and something municipalities in Ontario are going to go like, what? Why didn't anyone tell us we had to do this?
Sounds like impact.
Here it is. So anyways, so Perry Sound will be hosting that meeting, providing staff to run the Zoom and picking up the tab for the facility. So I'm just wondering if and how McKellar would want to sort of provide.
Well, I think it's good. You're taking the lead in that group for the area, the West Perry Sound area, I guess, if it exists.
Yeah.
And I think it's good that we contribute. Yeah, I just don't know how you come up with a figure. I mean, that would be up to you.
I know. So what if you're going to provide, probably the simplest thing is coffee and donuts.
Well, we'd have to go to the experts there.
I can tell you how much I love to say this. Two extra large dark girls cost me $5.32.
Oh, okay.
You've done the pricing for this already.
Yeah.
No, I just know what I pay every morning.
So it, normally they would provide those.
You get to take 12, the boxes.
How much are they?
I don't know how much they are, but you know what? I can find out.
Yeah.
I can find out.
I'm thinking it's probably less than $100.
I bet you more than that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. No.
$200?
Mm-hmm. Probably getting closer.
You get donuts too,
yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. You can get Timbits and save some money.
That's about the best.
First come, first serve. Heck with the rest of you. Are you going to get a more accurate number of people?
I'm thinking sort of the numbers that are coming in now. I'm thinking it's between, it's probably about 20-25. How many in McKellar?
Are we invited?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, so okay. Yes, so Nick has said that he's going to be attending. Hopefully Roshan, just because there is the accounting aspect of financial. And the main goal of this meeting is to determine who is going to take the administrative lead on this, because there's a ton of responsibility that's imminent, and there needs to be someone who's communicating directly with the Ministry of Solicitor General, making sure that, you know, whatever communication, because they're going to have to be on top of it, like constantly sending emails asking, because nothing has, even the information that I received indirectly. They had the wrong email recipient, so someone else sent me the information.
I guess, are you going to have anybody there, a Solicitor General? That's fine.
A representative from the
Police Services Board, somebody who's already gone through the procedure?
So, yes.
Okay.
There is a gentleman, Tom Gervais. He's the Police Board Advisor for the Northern Ontario region.
Mm.
So, he's going to be the main speaker. Hopefully, someone from Ontario Association of Police Services Boards will be there. But he's going to be the main speaker, and I'm going to provide him with the PowerPoint that the association provided to their members,
right.
So he has an idea of what we expect, you know, like that the information we've seen that we're going to be responsible for, so that you can be well prepared and see what the association is providing to their members. So.
So do we have to register for this?
Let me know if you are.
And the time is it?
9 till 12, January 10th. You don't have to, just next couple of days will be sent, and then I'm going to send out an email to that list shortly. I had to confirm first that the Heart Room was booked and that there was going to be staff there to be able to run the Zoom. So and I was waiting for comments from one individual, but I haven't heard anything back, so I'm going to send out an email shortly.
What's the name of the event, Mike? Sorry.
So it's going to be information session on transition from current CPAC structure to transition to Police Services Board.
Thank you. I know I replied to your email. I just couldn't remember exactly what it was called.
It's a pretty significant change. It's in creating almost a new bureaucracy here in the Westbury Sound area. It's like almost like creating the pool.
Municipal
Service Board.
Expensive, I'm sure.
Expensive.
More downloading. So how do you calculate the actual refreshments for those on Zoom? You have to do anything?
They get a virtual coffee.
Oh, did I?
Okay. Yeah. A little sticker that shows beside their name. Where is it again, Mike? I know I should know this.
Bobby Orr Community Center.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Right. I'm surprised I didn't put it in when you told
me.
You
would actually have to deliver to the people on
Zoom,
then, I
guess.
Right.
I guess, yeah.
Uber Eats.
We have DoorDash.
Uber Eats, yeah, why not?
Put down it comes from the surplus from the historical committee.
No,
okay.
I'll add that.
do we put a dollar amount, and then like you said, which do we have anything in the?
Well, you could put down not to exceed. I mean,
yeah,
if you want
that's
to put
what
out your figure in.
I'm just wondering if we have anything under protection of persons and property. If there's any.
Say 300, but we go higher if you want. Whatever it is, kind of.
I don't
right.
think it would exceed $500.
You covered that way anyway. And
but
then,
that would be covered.
Unless Morley shows up. And
you know, that's true.
Must we pick on Morley now? How many donuts do you usually eat in a city?
I'm not a big eater.
So
that's really what David says. So.
And I'm not a police officer either.
Nice.
So under the general heading protection of persons and property, under bylaw enforcement, there's miscellaneous of $1,500. So if to be able to draw from a certain account, if it's from that miscellaneous account. Because Roshan wants it, we'll need to know where the money's coming from.
Oh yeah, I'll need that. Yeah. But are we sure that that's in that account at this stage? We haven't had an update for a while.
Make sure to carry that forward to next year.
So actually, so
well, the waste expense will happen next year. There won't be a budget.
I put costs not to exceed $500.
Okay,
we don't need to put the account down.
If Roshan asks, if he can just check that miscellaneous account.
Okay, so I'm going to take that off and there, and I'll talk to Roshan for that.
Yeah.
We've always questioned those miscellaneous accounts.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about them that's really not specific enough.
Leads to abuse.
It can, but a lot of times things come up during the year. Well, this as an example.
Yeah.
those who know. So.
I think the rec committee has a miscellaneous line. I think you know somebody on the rec committee.
One or two.
And they like that miscellaneous.
I know they do. So does everybody, everywhere, in every organization. So 23, 24,
or whatever. Something.
Yeah. Used to have bosses came to me and said, I need money for this work. Can you find some money? I said, how much you need? Right there, my boss and everybody else would just like, you know, it would be a lot of money or whatever. And I'd say, yeah, I can find that. Where are you going to get it from? I said, I'm not telling you.
Resolution 23.
I said, I'll find it and I'll move it, but I'm not telling you.
Yeah.
So.
Moved by Councilor Cuckerton, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation, Township of Keller, does hereby agree to provide refreshments to the January 10th, 2024 information session on the transition from CPAC to the Police Services Board. Costs not to exceed $500. Further discussion? All the question, all those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. Any other committee reports?
I don't know, 150th meeting, and I think that was the last one of their existence. One more event coming, it's a New Year's dinner and show. And we went over the budget, and Roseanne will give some figures to the committee, and under budget, so by the year's end, should look pretty good, I think. Another thing is, I was just wondering, since that'll be their last meeting ever, and once the year's over, that's basically the end of the committee. I'm just wondering if we could, I'm thinking maybe a letter of recognition to the committee, if whether staff would want to write something up, you know, showing appreciation of all the events they did during the year. That would be fine.
They sure did an awful lot, for sure. So.
Yeah. Mary, of course, obviously with a big insight as to what it maybe could
you
help with.
You should see
what
she's working on now. It's incredible.
It'd be a relief, I think, even to a lot of the committee that it's over. It's been quite an ordeal. And that's about it. If a letter of
recognition. Do you need a resolution for that? Or?
I don't know.
I think you just you've got the message.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? Last night I came home from the city, and I drove out McDougal Road and then Hurtville Road to go home. There was trees down all along the way, most of them in McDougal, but I have the number for McDougal in my phone. I phoned them. I got, I think, a call center who took the message, got the details, and said they would pass along immediately. And some of them, one of the trees blocked the entire road. It was like a big old pine, probably about 12-inch diameter. Things I managed to drag one end off, and so you could at least drive by on one side. And then I got to Hurtville Road. There was a tree down right by Jones Road. I phoned Greg. I left him a message. I also sent him a text message after, and I'm sure it's probably been moved. But it made me wonder. I don't know that McDougal uses a call center, but they answered like a township of McDougal, but it clearly wasn't anybody in like Public Works or something. And why would they be there? It was like 8 o'clock at night, so maybe even 9 o'clock at night. I don't remember. But I just, you know, noticed the difference between the two, and I don't know how and when Greg gets around to those things, but I mean, in some cases, certainly several of the ones in McDougal, you know, would potentially cause an accident, and, you know, even the one that crossed the entire road, if you were coming at speed, you had no choice but to run into it, right? And several of the others, you'd have to veer off to the other side of the road, but, and I just wonder if that's ever been investigated or thought about, that's all.
Like to have an answering service?
Yeah. Well, maybe not for everything, but at least for that, because otherwise how do you report it? And I didn't drive out there to see or anything like that this morning. And, you know, probably Greg knows those kinds of things from a variety of sources, but it just seems to me that it doesn't look good, especially those things. Like last night was a nasty night to be driving because of the driving snow and everything else. And things like that really pose quite a hazard for that. And the worst case is you swerve out because that's where you got to go, and then there's somebody coming the other way, and then, you know, that could be life-threatening. That's all. I start the rest of the drive home, I start thinking, yeah, this isn't great, right? So, and I have no idea what they might pay for that, but or an alternate. I don't know that that's the only way of doing it, but it seems to me better than nothing at all. I didn't really expect a reply from Greg, certainly not a phone call, but he didn't reply to the text message either, so I don't know. It just caused me some concern.
The public is pretty good that way usually.
Sorry?
I mean, the public's good at notifying members of council or somebody, and then Greg's notified, and it works fairly well here. It worked recently down at, I guess it was Burnett's Road, with the material on the road, the topsoil.
Yeah, I came that day too, I found that.
And Greg took care of it right away.
Yeah.
And so I'm just not sure. I'm not sure how does the fire department work. I mean, they have people who are on call to them who respond to a call almost immediately.
Yeah.
So if it's an emergency situation, then someone will call 911.
Yeah.
Dispatch will contact OPP or fire, depending on how you direct your emergency, and then the OPP will take that call and possibly send it to officer out. And call Public Works and ensure they get in touch with Public Works.
Yeah, I don't think that'd be a frivolous 911 call, so I think it's important to know.
No.
And you'll have to get to know the Director of Operations in McDougal. Give him a call. Cell phone.
Okay, anyway, I'm just asking, like I said, because it occurred to me that I was, as I was driving, because it was a nasty night. I had to drive from Richmond Hill, and it was nasty, so...
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's not a bad idea, because if you're driving in some other town, other city that you're not aware of, and something like that happens, who do you call?
Yeah.
911 makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you want
to. If it's an emergency situation, then you're that concerned.
Well, I've had enough situations in the 8 years I've been living here that I finally just put their number in my phone so I can just do it hands-free and everything else, and phone and reported it. But, and there was three of them, right? One big one, like right across the road. And I got out and thought, I'm not even sure I can drag this, but it was enough weight on one side that I took the light side and just dragged it as far as I could so you could at least drive by in one lane. So, because it was around a bunch of, well, you know, McDougal, it's like this anyway. It, you know, wasn't very nice, but.
Anything else? Okay, we've got Resolution 23-790, moved by Councilor Kekin and second by Councilor Zulak. The result of Council of the Corporation, Township of Keller, does hereby receive the consent agenda for correspondence. Anything you want to pull from there? Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. Any questions from the public, either on Zoom or in person? Any items on the agenda?
Yeah, I got about an hour.
Serve, so if you have any questions, no. Resolution 23-791, moved by Councilor Ryan, second by Councilor Haskin. We resolve the Council of the Corporation of Township of Keller does hereby give bylaw number 2023-80, being a bylaw confirmed in proceedings of Council of First and Second Reading. Further read a third time and passed at open Council this 19th day of December 2023. Call the question, all in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-792, moved by Councilor Kekin, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township of Keller adjourn this meeting at 10:31 p.m. Meet again on December 21st, 2023, for a special closed meeting of Council or at the call of the Mayor.
Can we defer it?
Sorry?
Can we defer it?
All the questions, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. The meeting is now adjourned.